Hi, friends.
Hello, should I delete that, listeners?
We still have some tickets left for our live tour and we would absolutely love to see you there.
On Thursday, the 23rd of May, we will be performing in the London Islington Assembly Hall.
On Monday, the 27th of May, we will be in Salford.
On Tuesday, the 28th of May, we'll be in Glasgow.
Sunday, the 2nd of June, Birmingham.
Monday, the 3rd of June, Bristol.
And Tuesday, the 4th of June in Southampton.
You can get your tickets at aegpresents.co.uk or via the link in the show notes or our Instagram bios.
We really hope we'll see you there.
We are so happy and proud that this episode is sponsored by Butternut Box, a brand that we love for many reasons.
As you'll probably already know if you follow us both on Instagram, Butternut Box is a fresh dog food delivery service that delivers straight to your door and takes into consideration all of your dog's dietary needs. The brand started with a rescue dog, which we obviously love, and Betty and Boo have absolutely thrived on it.
Butternut Box genuinely care about their dogs, and their ethos is that good enough for the dog is not good enough. Dogs deserve better. The meals are comprised of quality meat, veg, lentils, vitamins and minerals, and don't contain any grain, wheat, gluten, corn, soy or sugar, all of which are known to cause intolerances in dogs.
We haven't been asked to say this, but we wanted to highlight the huge amount of work the Butternut Box do with dog charities. They donate meals to dogs in shelters, and they even donate freezers so that the shelters can store the meals.
If you would like to try Butternut Box out for your dog, you can get 50% off your first two boxes with the following link: www.butternutbox.com/AlexandM.
Oh my god, why did I post that? I don't know what to do! Should I delete that?
Yeah, you should definitely delete that. Hi, Em.
Oh, God, I'm so
guys,
mad.
We've just been working out how to open the podcast because we hate the sound of our own voices.
So we've had an idea. We've had a couple of actresses. They're so nice. They're going to do a voiceover for us. How are you, babes?
I'm good. Well, I know you'll be good because the sun is shining. For me, it's way too hot, but I know you'll be like, yeah, oh my God, it's amazing. I love it.
Honestly, don't start with this. Just don't start. I will talk to you about the sun when you dress appropriately, but you cannot walk around central London in trousers and a long sleeve top and moan about the heat. It's just nonsensical. If you're in shorts and a t-shirt and you've still got beef, I'll listen. But you're not helping yourself.
This is the thing, right? I feel unprotected when I'm exposed, when my skin is exposed in London. Does that make sense? I don't even know what from, but I feel vulnerable and exposed. Like, I'm fine around, I don't know. Do you know what I mean? Like, on holiday, it's fine. But then in London, it just feels so weird to be in.
Yeah, I actually do know what you mean. Like, I wore a pair of denim shorts in London last summer. I actually, when I was having lunch with you, and we didn't know each other that well, and I wore a pair of denim shorts to lunch, and I looked fucking fantastic, and I would have never been so self-conscious in my life. Like,
really?
They're not even that short. And I just was like, oh my God, oh my God. Like, I think, and I know exactly what you mean. I'm like a midi dress kind of gal. Well, not even a midi dress. I'm like a summer day dress. But I know what you mean about, like, I don't know if I'd wear a pair of denim shorts if I were on my own on public transport in London.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm just, I feel like, and even yesterday, we met up yesterday in London and I wore a bodysuit that when I started off didn't show any cleavage, but by the time I got in, you know what it's like when your body kind of like wears into it, and it had cleavage and I felt so uncomfortable. I don't know. I can't explain it. I don't know. I just don't like it. And I just don't want anyone looking at me. Like, I saw a man staring at my boobs on the train and I was like, this is why I never want to show skin, because I don't like it. Like, stop looking at me.
Fair enough. Now, the fact that I've been rude about your outfit makes me just sound like a massive arsehole.
No, because it's true. I don't dress for the weather. And it's very annoying when I'm like, I am so hot. Literally, sweat is running down my back. Gross. But there you go. But yeah. Anyway, I'm working it out.
I do lean in a bit. Yeah, I lean in a bit to it because I'm just like, obviously women do have to modify their behaviour in order to be safer. But at the same time, I'm like, I refuse to be uncomfortable because of what society says about my body.
Yeah, we shouldn't have to.
So, yeah, like, I mean, I'm not quite a, like, bikini in the park kind of gal, but I aspire to that. When I see the girls in the parks in their bikinis, I'm like, fucking get it.
Yeah.
But I don't think I'm quite there. No. But I'm a bikini in the garden girl, and I wouldn't have been one of those before. So I know what you
mean.
But
it's funny, isn't it? Because, like, if it was a park full of women, or if London was full of women, I wouldn't give a damn about what I wear, but I can't bear any of the attention from men.
Okay.
Or, like...
That's
I just
fair.
Don't like
I tell you
it.
What you need.
I just don't like it.
You need the me and M dresses, the cheese. I'm gonna say cheesecloth. Yeah. That might be wrong. Yeah, they're like, doesn't have to be me and M, but there are dresses that exist. I just know my mum's wearing those ones that are like really, really long and like very light. So you can still be like all ethereal and like cool and like sweeping through London, but you haven't got like sweat dripping down your butt crack, basically.
That's it. Like mid, I think
that's
what I need.
That's what they
should
use for their advertising.
They should, shouldn't they?
Yeah, midi, you won't have sweat going down your bum crack.
Midi dress that's not sleeveless. There you go.
Yeah, Dancing Leopard, silk, okay. Like silk thread, base stock dresses that have got sleeves.
Yeah, I like that. Okay, fine. Nice. There we go.
Cool. Look at us. Every time we're touching on this fashion stuff and basically talking about how bad we are at dressing.
I know.
I just wear exercise shorts all the time. I'm in them today.
Do you know what? I'm going to buy some exercise shorts. I've actually got some, but for some reason they just don't... Thank you so much, Dave. before we started recording.
That cup of tea you hinted very heavily
Dave,
at.
If you happen to be making tea... Yeah. Thanks, Dave.
There's no one for me. I've tried with that with Boo and she's just looking blankly at me.
I need to start wearing exercise shorts. I don't know why, it just doesn't come into my conscious, but I'm going to start wearing them.
And they're so comfy, they're stretchy. I don't know. And if a man comes at you and you have to kick him in the face, pow! You can do that. You've got so much space.
I don't think
things.
I would go
so
out
in
them though. That's sad, isn't it? I don't know why. I just don't think I would. It just feels like too much flesh on show. I don't know. I'm not saying this to anyone else. I'm not saying like, oh, don't put your flesh on show. I just mean like, for me, I feel uncomfortable. Maybe it's something I need to work through. I don't know.
But, yeah, no, I know what you mean. Also, I like that you've just called it flesh so many times. I'm going to think about that every time that I've got my flesh out. flesh. But yeah, I get it. Like, I think I said this to you before. I always walk past, like, the calf on the corner of where I live is always, it's where all, like, the builders go in the morning before they start work. And I used to feel so self-conscious, and now I'm just like, look, it's this or a sweaty butt crack.
Give a damn. Yeah, and that's how I should be, and I want to be like that. Maybe I'm just going to start like pushing myself a little bit.
You know, okay, so fine, yeah. You might have men looking and men leering, and that's a whole other thing. But like, from a self-conscious perspective, like, I never wore shorts because I've got hairy legs or grey little legs or pale legs or cellulite legs or fat legs or blah, 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 blah. And now I'm just like, honestly, like,
literally,
fundamentally, it's just meat. Like, it's a meat suit. That's
literally
all this body is. It's
and
a meat
it's
suit.
So true. Like, and I don't give a second look to what people are wearing. Unless I'm like, oh my God, I love that outfit. No. That's a really cool outfit. I want to buy those shorts or whatever. But like, someone could walk past me like wearing a bikini top and shorts and I just wouldn't. That's the thing. We just, yeah. I don't want anyone to be listening to this and thinking, oh God, like, you know, make them feel self-conscious, because it's just how literally I personally feel, because I don't like male attention.
Yeah. I love seeing women wearing like cool
me too.
Shit in London and just like brazenly
me
not
too.
Caring. I'm like, fucking
wear whatever
get it.
You want.
And particularly when it's teenagers, I'm like, I wish that could have been me. Like, because I used to say all the time, I hate the summer, I hate the summer. And I think the reason that I said I hate the summer wasn't because I hated the summer, it's because I hated having to show my body.
Yeah.
Like, and that was literally like, I used to, oh my God, I dreaded the summer so much because it'd be like, I just never knew what to wear in it. And so I'd always wear jeans and I'd always pretend that it was fine. I was like, oh yeah, I just love jeans. Like, and whatever. And I'm like, I'm so hot. But like, I would just wear it all the time because, or like a black t-shirt, black jeans, whatever. Because I thought, well, because I wanted to hide my body and be thin and wear flattering clothes. And that's why I hated the summer. And now I've got my hairy little trotters out. I'm like, thriving. And yeah, now I
do you know what? Like, that's, I think, in recent years, something that I've been like, because I've always been like, I hate summer, I love winter. And I do think a part of it is, it's kind of my personality as well. Like, I do prefer winter. But a huge part of the reason that I've hated summer is because of body issues. So now I'm like trying to lean into like, do I actually hate summer? Or is this just like residual anxiety?
Al, look, I'm not being like, I feel like I'm going to sound like I've been paid by summer's PR team to really sell this to you. But what's to fucking hate? The sun is up early. The birds are happy. The grass is greener. The pub gardens are open. It doesn't get dark until 10. Everybody's happy. There's always some fun sports on. Strawberries are in season. Cherries are in season. A bunch of fruits in season. You get really long holidays. Everybody smiles more.
Okay.
Everybody's got a better tan.
I get
the
point.
The hair goes naturally light.
I get the point.
Summer is fucking fantastic.
However, I have always felt like, a weird pressure around summer to be doing stuff that I'm not doing, right? I'll see on Instagram people like, oh, I'm in the park with my mates or like having a picnic today or doing this. And I'm like, oh my God, I should be doing that. And I'm not. And I'm feeling like a lazy day and I don't want to go out. But like people say that when the sun comes out.
Oh my God, do you feel more validated by winter?
Yeah, I do. I think I do. Yeah.
Okay, I think you've got some stuff to work through here.
Possibly. But do you know what I mean? Like on Instagram, like especially like in summer, everyone's doing stuff and it's so exciting. And I'm like, oh my God, but I'm tired. Like I don't want to do anything today. But then it feels like this pressure that I should. And it's like, and then I've got this massive FOMO when I feel sick. And yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it's the hot girl summer thing. But I think, and I say this with a lot of love, but I think you put this on yourself because...
100%.
Yeah, because I think, well, this just sounds like I'm being mean now. But
no, it's true. I mean, every problem I have, I've put on myself, so that's not a surprise.
No, I do know what you mean. And sometimes it can feel really sad as well, like when you go past a park and you just see all these people having like an impromptu party in the park, and I'm like, oh, I want one.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
No, I do get that. I do.
Well, people are at the pub, in a pub garden.
In winter, everybody just sits at home being miserable, so it's easier to feel better about yourself. And sometimes happiness... this is deep. But sometimes happiness can be confronting. So when you see other people being happy, it's a mirror up to what you're feeling. Oh,
correct.
Oh, this is so deep. Anyway.
Correct.
And maybe it's because of all my coaching, but I didn't used to like seeing people be happy because... It made me more aware of my sadness when I was unhappy. But now, maybe because I've like flicked the switch or whatever, I fucking love seeing people being happy. I'm like, get it, girl. Like, can I be happy with you? Can you, happiness make me happy? I'm one of those, I'm a fridge magnet person. What can I say?
You're a fridge magnet. But like, I don't like dislike seeing people happy. But what I feel like it makes me think like, so if I'm like people are in the pub garden, I'm like, I don't. Like, no one's invited me to the pub garden.
Oh my God, do you want to go to the pub garden? Do you want to go? I already invited you today to come and eat pizza in the park with me.
I know, and I would, and that is very kind, and I would love to, but I've got a shit ton of stuff to do. And if I do that, I will hate myself for it, even though it sounds absolutely delightful, and it's with three of my favourite people, but I can't. I just can't. But, so there you go. I know. I'm just an idiot. I don't know. Maybe I'm just like so self-absorbed and self-obsessed that everything I see, I'm like, they're in the pub garden. Why am I not? I don't know.
Yeah, we need Jacqueline back again for this because it's so big. But I actually think that's the biggest thing that we have to realise is like, other people can't make us feel things. So when you're like, oh, it makes me feel, when I see other people in the park, it makes me feel sad or jealous or whatever, not your words, paraphrasing. They haven't made you feel that. You've made you feel that, right?
Yeah, totally.
Which is, we accept that and whatever, it's fine. But I actually think it's so interesting when we realise, like, when we unpick all the, like, why do we feel? Why do we not like this? Why do we not like this? It's like, it's all because we only look through the lens. We only look through our own lens. We are inherently incredibly self-absorbed people. So everything is taken in through our perspective. And things annoy us. Things make us happy. Things make us sad. Things make us grumpy. Just because of how we receive them. So it's all fascinating.
It is fascinating. And it's so true. We are so selfish. Well, you can see that by like kids. If you just look at kids, like babies and then kids, they're super, super selfish, which is normal. Like that's how they are. But like we are inherently very, very selfish people, very selfish beings.
But even looking at trolling, I don't know, I just think anybody that trolls anybody, I was thinking about this morning for some reason, I can't remember why, but I'm like, God, how sad. Like anybody that trolls, like, I don't know, someone sent Georgie a message this morning. It was really mean, saying she doesn't have cancer anymore, so she's irrelevant and she needs to, whatever. It was a very mean message.
Are you joking?
And I was like, are you okay? Like, to this person, I'm like, are you okay? Because what is it about seeing a person happily living their life that makes you have to do that? And I think it's like, but we have to acknowledge what trolling is, like how it's, and trolling is just one thing. Trolling, we troll all the time. Trolling is just gossiping or bitching by another name. Even internally, we troll things. You know, we see things that that we see people having fun too loudly and we think, oh, like fucking whatever. And our instinct is find something wrong with them. Like, that's the way like our brain's working. And I think online's making it so much work. This is heavy. We haven't even done the good survivors.
This is heavy, but it's so huge. True. Like, because trolling is as well so selfish because it originates from a place of generally originates from a place of not necessarily pain, but discomfort and discontent, right? And trolling makes people feel better. It kind of eases or alleviates, even albeit temporarily, that discomfort or that discontent. So
yeah. Okay. So why are you trolling the summer then, Al?
So I am trolling the summer because I basically am a selfish twat.
You're not. I always think you look really nice in the summer.
Really?
You've that nice black dress with the sleeves, yeah?
That nice black dress that's like a tent. Do you know what? Next time I come into London, I'm going to wear something that makes me feel uncomfortable and I'm just going to push myself.
So you have a whole swimwear line. How you do not like the summer? You should have done ski wear, really.
But that just feels different. Do you know what I mean? It just feels different. I don't know.
London in the summer
is so weird.
It's a little microclimate. I don't know what. I'm just going to use this word. I'm just going to float it, and I'm going to judge by your reaction if it's the right word.
Okay.
Because I don't know.
Scared.
With any certainty what this definition is. London in the summer is a real like. Metropolis. How did that go?
Yeah, good.
What's a metropolis?
I think it means a bustling city environment.
Perfect. London in the summer is just a metropolis.
Shall we do good, bad, and awkward before Daisy kills us?
I think so. Yeah.
The good, the bad. And the awkward.
Hit me with your good.
Oh my god, my good, Al. My good. It's so
good.
Go
on, hit me. Go on.
Happened about 45 minutes ago. I paid not one, but two congestion charge bills.
Yeah.
I am officially safe. I'm on the straight and narrow now. I've chosen, the life of crime is gone. I've chosen
Love it.
To keep my nose clean and live a straight up life. I'm really happy.
Well done. I am so proud of you. Well done. We're all cheering you on, Em.
It's so, I know, ha ha ha, we all laugh at like me, but it's such a bad way of life. It's honestly, it's just, I just hate myself so much. I need help. But in absence of that, I've helped myself. I've paid it. I got
well
away
done.
With it. It would have been cheaper if I'd paid it sooner, but that's about
I'm very proud of you. Well done.
And it wouldn't have cost anything if I had just not broken the law, but...
But here we are.
All right, hit me. What's your good? Anything good from the week, please? I know you're good.
Yes. And actually, because I had... I think it was last week that I had like 17 bads and no good. So this week, I don't want to have a bad, if that's okay.
Yes, fine, good.
I want
good.
To like
you're
even
bad
out.
Is that the sun's shining. Your bad is that everybody in London
yeah,
is so
exactly.
happy.
Exactly, we've done that already. My good is that I got onto the Sunday Times bestseller list in number 4, which is very, yeah, really, like, unbelievable and something that, yeah, I feel like it's something that no one can ever take away from me because I feel like the Instagram can be deleted, right? Instagram can lose its relevance and gone. You know, and also what can't be taken away from me is podcast number 1.
Nope.
That can't be taken away. So that's two things now that cannot be taken away. And that feels very good.
Nice.
Like, I just can't believe it. And on Sunday, I'm going to buy like 17, literally 17 copies of the newspaper. I'm so excited. So that is my good. But I've talked about the book way too much. So
no, you've not. The Sunday Times bestseller is huge. That's like prestigious shit. Like... Big stuff's been on there. Like, big stuff.
Big stuff.
Like,
every
good book ever has been on there.
Yeah.
As a book lover, I can't tell you how huge this is. Like, I'm so proud of you.
Oh, thank you.
Like,
I can't believe
these people, like, book reviewers, I'm sorry, but you have to have so much confidence in yourself to be a book reviewer. Like... So all the book pages, I always just think it's a terrifying world. Like, it's terrifying because book people are mean people because they're all, like,
mean
intellectual, right?
Yeah.
So they come at it from a place of, like, intellectualness. Ah, I hate myself for that wasn't the word. So I don't know, to be in with the big cheeses, to be recognised, like, right there, like, that's, like, creme de la creme shit. That's massive.
Yeah, yeah,
it is. That's massive.
It is cool. It is cool. And it's nice because, and I said this on Instagram, like, I feel like, because obviously I was at Hello and I was a writer for years, and I've always been, I always wanted to be a writer, but I was always aware, and I became increasingly aware as I worked for Hello and came across other writers and read other writing that, like, I am not the best writer in the world. And that really, that really clouded me for, again, so selfish. God, I'm so self-absorbed. But that really, like, hung over me like a cloud for a very, very long time. I was like, I'm never going to be a writer like this. I'm never going to be one of those writers. I'm just not, anyway. And I feel like I've actually found my groove where I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm not the best writer in the world, but I am my type of writer. Like, I don't know, does that make sense? Like, I just feel like I've hit my stride.
Al,
and I'm okay right with it.
Right now,
and like,
you're number four best writer in the country. So
well,
zip that, shut that down. You don't need to, like,
you know what I mean,
explain
though.
Yourself. No, I'm not listening to this. You've done so well and you're a brilliant writer and all of this shit's subjective anyway. But in the opinion of all of Britain right now, numero four, bitches.
No, I know. And I know this just sounds like I'm being, like, super self-deprecating, but I do think this is like, this feels like a cool moment for me to realise that I don't need to be the best writer in the world. But if I write about something that's, like, I'm passionate about and that means something to me and that I can, like, make it digestible, like, that's all that matters. Do you know what I mean? And I think it's cool to realise that. Like, we don't have to be the best at everything to be valuable, right?
Isn't that the biggest relief? Because, yeah, 100%,
yeah.
I have to accept. And it was acceptance that I came to very early on. I will never be the best, probably, at anything. I am so
Same.
Middle of the road and absolutely yeah. fine with that. There's nothing I excel in particularly. And you know where, like, I don't give up very easily, and that's probably my strongest suit, but I'm not the best at not giving up. There are people way better at not giving up than me. So I never want to be the idea of even aspiring to be any, I don't want to be top 10. I have no interest. I have so little competitiveness because I'm absolutely sure that I'm not the best. So there's no point. The only thing that I win at, actually, I don't know why I'm doing myself down. This is fucking huge. I am brilliant at darts.
Are you?
What else am I good at? Yeah, I know. I'm
okay,
really
good
at dart. I know, it was a real surprise to me too. There's something else I'm really good at, but I've forgotten it. Dart? I'm good at parallel parking. But again, probably not the best out. Probably not even the best on my street. And I don't want to have to be proved. Like, I don't want to be knocked down a peg. I don't want... oh, God. See, I'm so happy in my own lane because I compete only...
Yes.
Oh, laser tag. That's the other thing I'm really fucking good at.
I bet you are. I hate laser tag because
so
it's
good.
Anxiety-inducing.
I am so good. You know, I'm trying to make a show for my birthday, which is what I normally... Every year for the last few years, we either go
oh
eight or laser tag. Which is why I'm so good at it. I love it. I'm so good.
You would wipe the floor with me. I'd be like, do you mind if I tag you now? Is that okay?
Oh no, I'd shoot you in the back as you were running away. I've just no mercy. But those are the only things. I can only be competitive in things that are completely inconsequential. And if there's any chance that I'm not going to be, like, I just accept my fate at the back of the pack and I'm so happy there. Like, and I genuinely, I'm not just saying, like, oh no, I'm really happy not to win. I'm so happy there. I have no interest in doing well at all.
And that is it's like a bloody therapy session. And that is the weird thing with me is that I've never been like, oh, but I'm better than her. Like, it's so weird. You only compare yourself to, like, people who are better than you. Anyway.
I think the thing for you is that your standards for yourself are so high.
Yeah, and I'm all or nothing. So my thing was like,
yeah.
Well, if I'm not a, like, an amazing, like, this, like, crazy amazing writer, then, like, why am I in this profession? Like, people should just hear. I don't know.
Because it's fun. Honestly, you put too much on yourself. Because if people don't like what you write, they don't have to read it. Honestly, like, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Like, you make what you make. You in life, you do what you do. You wear what you want. You say what you say. If people don't like it, then just... Honestly, people, you know, people say all the time, oh, I'm so bored of looking at your content. I'm like, sad for you that you're bored. Sad for you. Go look at something else. That's my suggestion. Or, like, I don't like your book. I'm like, well, why are you reading it? Anything. Any of these things. I just think it's so sad when people don't like things. I'm like, well, that's not my fault. That's your fault. Well, it's not even your fault.
That's so true.
It's just a fact. So
can I boast about something though? Something that I am genuinely good at. Like, I think like this is my thing out of everything in my life. Like, this is my thing. Spot the difference.
You're really good at spot the difference.
Like, I can't wait to show you. I've got an app on my phone. So like, I am so good at spot the difference. Like, I excel. That is where I excel.
Oh God, great.
So yeah.
That's so useful. If I ever lose an earring, I'll call you.
I'm good.
Yeah,
good
at I've got, I feel like this isn't going to be a massive surprise to you, but I've got terrible attention to detail and I don't think I'm going to be very good at spot the difference. But I'll give it a go.
Okay, I'll send you the app. I'm going to make you sit for an hour and just watch me play. I won't, don't worry.
I'm going to take you to laser anyway. Oh my laser God. Tag. Anyway, fine. Awkward. We're not going to do bads this week. No bads. No bads.
But no. Can I just quickly give you another good? Just one good. Is that we were in London yesterday and we were going to a meeting and we were kind of getting bogged down with stuff like details and logistics around the podcast and like just talking through things and really like just not stressed, but just like, yeah, okay, well, okay, a little bit. Just like, oh my God, we've got this to do and that to do and oh my God, is this going to be okay and blah, blah, blah. And a girl just walked up to us randomly and said, I love the podcast. I think she said, I listened to the podcast. I'm putting words in her mouth. I love the podcast. But she said, I listened to the podcast and I just wanted to say hi. And I was like, oh my God, that is so nice. And it's cool. It made me very happy. Yeah. It kind of like snapped me out of the bubble of like, there's so much to do and this and that. And I was like, oh my God, that's so, so, so nice. People are actually listening.
I love this podcast. I love it so much.
Me too.
Like, we do get very stressed by it. And there is a lot of like work and stuff around it. But I love the Instagram account. I love the messages that we get. I love the emails that we get. Yeah. I just fucking love this whole thing. We're so lucky. Best thing ever.
I love what we talk about. I really do. It's stuff that I can talk about like all day long. A lot of it is just shite, but anyway, what is your, do you have a bad? Do you want to
oh give, no, give no bad? Bads, but I have two awkward, and they, you know what, they're both so small, but they just, it just happened just 2 days back to back, and I just, both including my handbag. So, first of all, on Tuesday, I went to a big event with Bumble. The tickets the tickets for this festival thing that we went to were like thousands, like it's for big business people, right? Like, ballers, like big, important, impressive people in suits and shit. And it was all good. And I was going there with Bumble to listen to a talk about online safety. And it was really important. And like what tech companies have to, it was probably the most smart thing that I have done in my career.
Okay.
Like,
amazing.
So it's pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was outside and I had to do an Instagram post about it. So I had to take a photo outside. So April, who we work with, went to take my photo and I passed her my handbag. I passed it to her, somehow dropped it, and it was open, and all of my silly little things went everywhere. And I can't tell you, like, haha, it doesn't look too bad. It was bad. There were so many people around. I had like, and nothing solidified my like, I shouldn't be here more than like my stupid contents and my stupid bag. I had like 7 lipsticks. Like, what a thing for feminism is that? That I'm just like, I've come to this business conference and I've put like 7 lipsticks. Like, why? I had 2 champagne corks. I can explain one, but I don't know where the other one's from. I had little pieces of jewellery go everywhere. Polos went fucking everywhere. Love hearts. Why have I got so many sweets in my bag? My keys, my AirPods. It was so embarrassing. And I was wearing a really short skirt. And I was like, well, dress. Not like, I was at a business conference, guys. It wasn't like a little mini skirt. But it was like, you know, I was wearing like a little flowy dress. So I was like bending over like arse out trying to like gather all my things and my dignity. And it was fucking embarrassing, actually. So
love
that was
that.
Fine. Yeah, that was on Tuesday. That was fine. And then yesterday I went to, Fliss took me to the live recording of the TV series of Chris and Rosie Ramsey's show. It was really good. And we just went to like the TV thing. You can just get the tickets like for free. You can just, you know, sign up to a thing and you can get tickets. Anyway, so we went and it was really good. Security, you have to like give them your bag. But I didn't know that. I thought he was just looking in my bag. So I have a crossbody bag and I opened it to show him.
Oh, God.
Picked it up to take it. but it was still around my neck. So I thought he was just looking at it. So I started looking over it too, like, oh, what have we got in here? But he was like pulling it away and I was like, wait. And he was like pulling me over the counter. And he was like, oh God, sorry. I was like, I need to die. This is so embarrassing.
That is so embarrassing.
Such a small moment. And I was like, why is this lasting so long? Oh, it's so embarrassing. So yeah, I'm not going to carry a handbag for a few days.
Love that for you. So my awkward, oh my God, it was so weird. And again, such a small moment, but it felt horrifically embarrassing. We're taking Betty one day a week to a new daycare where we live, which she loves. We dropped her off there for a little taster session just to make sure that she was okay and that she liked it. So dropped her off and I was chatting to the girl there who runs the place, and it was outside and it was really sunny. So I had my sunglasses on, right? And these sunglasses I've had for ages, but they're so sturdy. They're Key ones. That's how you say it, right? Q-U-A-Y, Key Australia. Yeah. Love them. So sturdy. I've had them forever and they just live in my bag, like without a case on or anything, because they're that sturdy. And I was talking to this woman and I think I went to touch my hair. I don't know what happened, but one of the lenses just fell out. just one of the lenses just popped out, fell out. And I'm looking at this woman through one lens and one open, completely open glasses. She's just got my eye. And it just took me a second and we're just looking at each other. And I was like, oh God. Oh God, sorry. It was just horrifying. It just felt really, really horrifying. I was like, God,
understand.
Oh. Do you know what I mean?
I am just
staring at this woman with one eye. Oh, so weird.
Oh, okay, I understand. Oh, why is being human so embarrassing?
So embarrassing.
She will never think again about that moment. It's absolutely no biggie for her, but for you, it's going to come back to you in your dreams.
Literally, it wakes me up in the night. So there we go. Oh, longer intro than usual. Sorry, guys, but I've enjoyed it. I've had a really nice chat.
We didn't even bring any bads.
No, I know.
I like that. My good is I paid my parking fine. Like that's
the bar is low.
The bar is so low. It wasn't low. Congestion. You know what I might do?
Go on.
And I'm emphasis on the word might. Go and register my car so that it automatically pays congestion charge when I go into central London, and then I won't get these bills anymore.
Like a plan. I think that sounds like a very good plan.
I'm just putting this out for some accountability. I'm also going to do the bank card thing. But my friend Anna says that it's a bit more difficult than actually know someone sent me a DM saying there's actually a problem. You know, I said I was only going to get a new bank card when I changed my name because I was like, well, that'll just be easier. She said, when you get your new bank card with your new name, you have to put the old card in the ATM to activate the new card. I was like, no, there is no old
card. So you've got to get a new card. Okay. Ooh. That's your task for today. Why don't you just do that one task today, new bank card. Do it when we put the phone down. Do it now.
We've talked about this so many times. I'm busy. Like, I'm a busy person, right?
No, I know.
But
I know,
don't understand how I don't do anything. I can't understand why. It's so bad. Like, how have I just been tasked with one task? I'm going to do both those things today. I'm going to do both those things today. Because I just mean
one task feels manageable to get your head around, right?
No, but I don't understand. Some people, you know, like, imagine how many tasks Elon Musk has to do in a day. And then there's me just like, oh, I might call the bank.
Do you have a list, a to-do list?
The last to-do list I made, I think, was from the 16th of May. And it's still flashing at me on that app that you sent me and reminded me that I need to do all the things on it. But I've done all of those.
Right. Okay, so you need to get in the habit of a to-do list.
Yeah.
A to-do list that you look at every single day.
Yeah, but I just look at them, then I look at them at the end of the day and there's loads of stuff I've not done.
So then you do it tomorrow. So then you just do it tomorrow. Don't have any time sensitive. Don't make them time sensitive. Just put them on the list.
Wait, you can not make them time sensitive?
Yeah, I've got a the app you're talking about. I've got a project, but I don't like it when it goes in today because then it says today and then I don't like that. So I just put it on a project board that's called To-Do.
The app that we're talking about is called Todoist, isn't it? Todoist.
Yeah. It's really good.
Right. I'm going to do three things. Yeah. I'm going to make the list. I'm going to set up my congestion charge. I'm going to call the bank. Hell.
Excellent.
Fucking
hell. We're cheering you on. Right.
Jesus Christ.
Right. It is time for an interview. One that we absolutely loved. We could have stayed chatting to her for like literally hours more. We were like sad to wrap up, weren't we? And it's Gutted. Shauna Phillips off Love Island. She was in Love Island in 2020, at the end of 2020, weirdly, like in the middle of COVID and stuff like that. She talked a lot, like candidly a lot about Love Island and the body image pressures she faced both before going on, during and after as well. And actually I think the during bit was the most interesting because it's something that we just don't see when we're watching it on TV. Anyway, let's get to the interview.
Yeah, we're just going to give you a tiny little warning that there was a window cleaner in the studio at the time. So if you hear a funny noise, that's what it is. But please enjoy.
So Shauna, you were on Love Island in 2020.
Yeah.
Does that feel like a lifetime
Literally
ago?
It feels like yesterday, but then also a whole other person that went through that experience.
Yeah.
It is just the most insane. Do you know what it is? It's such a build-up. Well, for me anyway, it was like from August to January. So it was like a build-up. It was secret. It was like, oh my God, is this going to happen? Is this not? And then it happens. And when you're in there, you are so unaware of everything going on. You literally are in like a boarding school. That's what it feels like. Really? And then you come out and then it's just, I feel like people think that you come out this Love Island star, but you don't. You come out you with this attention, which is just so alien. It's the weirdest thing. I can't even explain it. It's so weird.
I can't even imagine it. But like, how was the Love Island experience for you?
Do you know what? It was fine. I feel like I didn't ruin it for myself, but I definitely, it weren't as fun as it could have been because I was so in my head. And like, I watch it back now and I'm like, there was nothing wrong with you. Like, you looked fine. I wish I looked like that now. But in there, I was just like, this is like, why am I here? I just felt like I was like the token in there. For sure.
Really?
Yeah. And it,
like bigger girl.
Yeah. And it really did kind of, it probably did influence a lot of the things that I'd done in there, just down to how I sat, conversations I got involved in, and just, it did influence everything.
Really?
And I wish it never.
Do you think it was like an in-you thing, or do you think it was like a comparison to the other people that you were with? Like the environment, because it's such a weird environment.
It is so weird, but it was definitely a bit of both. I would say it was more so me.
Yeah.
Because I was like that before Love Island. I would walk into a room and instantly think, oh my God, everyone's looking at me. Oh my God. Like I was like a size 8, but I was convinced I was a fat size 8. Oh, and it's like,
really?
That what? Like, what I'm, is that? Yeah, and I'm past that now, but I was 25, so I was of an age where I should have known that you got here just as much as all the other girls have got here, but I just didn't feel like that at all. And I wish I did. If I was ever to go back, oh my God, I would just absolutely not. I'd hope that I wouldn't care.
Yeah, but also then, like, I understand why every single girl going on there might feel a certain way.
Yeah.
And lad as well, and boy, there is so much pressure around it. It's so intense. And you hear about these, you know, like getting ready stories, like prepping, and you know, you see them as well on Instagram. Like what they do beforehand is like 12-week transformation, and where you
it's like going
kill
to war.
Yeah.
Literally, you're preparing for war.
What did you do to get ready?
Well, I was very unhealthy in terms of my eating and things like that before Love Island, and kind of what got me out of that was I wanted to start going to the gym. But I couldn't go to the gym because I wasn't eating enough. So I would literally go to the gym and nearly faint. So I had to start eating more just to even get to that point. So I was in a healthier situation when Love Island came about. But then obviously when it did happen, it was then like all systems go. I was going to the gym maybe 5 or 6 times a week. Mm. But it weren't like, now I'm in a position when I go to the gym, I go as a, I try to look at it as a treat for myself. Like, this is your time, just go and enjoy it. Whereas back then it was like do or die. Like, I'd literally be in bed. And I used to work from like, I used to leave the house at like 6 a.m. I'd get back at 6 p.m. after a long day of work. And I'd be laying in bed like so tired. And I'd be like, you're going to regret laying in bed when you're on telly and you feel like shit. Like, get to the gym now. So then I'd go and I'd force myself. I'd be so tired. But it was literally just like, you're gonna regret not going. And also mine was over Christmas, like my prep. So I didn't, like everyone overindulges at Christmas. There was not a quality street touched my lips.
Oh,
that
really?
It was a very sad time in life.
Ruined your Christmas.
Very sad time. I've made
sad.
Up for it, don't worry.
Reality show stole Christmas.
Literally, even at Christmas dinner, and everyone was like, right, but I flew out like 2 weeks after Christmas.
Right.
And everyone was like, what should I have for dessert? And I was like, I can't, like, it's just not even worth it. And I didn't, and it was a very sad Christmas.
But it's sad, but I understand like why you would,
yeah,
you how you can get to a headspace like that.
Well, no one goes, oh my god, I can't wait to go on holiday and get in a bikini. I don't care how fit you are, I just can't imagine anyone going, oh, I can't wait until everyone looks at me in a bikini. Like, that's just alien to me to begin with. But then to think, no, I'm going on national telly where it's known, yeah, that everyone is going to judge you based on what you look like. The whole concept of the show is that you are going to be like, as you're going to get far if people fancy you.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
insane.
Can I ask what compelled you to do it, to like sign up to do it in the first place?
So they approached me.
Okay.
And I remember I got the message, and they don't say Love Island, they say dating show. And I remember I knew instantly it was Love Island, and I had this feeling that if I go for this, I was going to get it. I can't even explain it. It was just, I felt like, do I want to do this? I was happy with my life. I was happy with my job.
What was your job?
I was a Democratic Services officer.
Cool.
No idea what that means.
No idea.
Still
either.
To this day.
No, it's like, sounds
still to this day.
Good.
But it sounded good. So I worked within the council basically, and I loved my job. I was happy. And I went down to my mum and I was like, I've got this message. I don't know whether to reply or not. And she was like, if you don't reply, I will. Because it's more, you have a better chance of getting into Oxford than you do Love Island.
Yeah,
that's so crazy.
And I thought, what's the harm in replying to this message? I'll just see what happens. There's no pressure. And then every stage that went past, I was realising, oh, I'm getting closer and closer. I still didn't believe I was going on until I actually walked in. But ultimately, I just thought, you know what? I will regret not doing it more than I regret doing it.
Mm-hmm.
If I do it and whatever happens, happens, it's a lesson. But if I don't do it, I'll always think, God, what if I'd done that?
Mm.
And I also used to do the minutes for the pension committee, and I used to hate it, which was also a very big driving force.
Yeah.
Very big driving force.
Such a switch up in your life.
Literally, yeah. I was missing. So they was, obviously, I couldn't tell my team. And I was planning for the next pension committee, and I knew I weren't going to be there. And I was thinking, please come through, Love Island, please.
Please.
Please. And it worked, thank God.
I was watching some of your interviews when you came out, after you came out of the villa. And in one, you said that you were talking about how your body image was in there, and that you were crying to the therapist there,
yeah,
all the time. It made me so sad. I was like,
she was my best mate.
You have no idea of that when you're watching the show.
No.
And I think we're so like humans, like we take everything at face value. So
yeah,
we don't, we just,
even I do, and I've been
even
on there.
Yeah.
And I do. But you don't, and obviously no one wants to see, you're watching Love Island, no one wants to see a girl crying about this, that or the other. I get it. But I think viewers, we do forget, but we need to try and remember them girls have probably been doing that in there already. I guarantee at least one girl in there, it's been on 2 days, has already cried about being homesick. Because
really?
Within a matter of hours, this was as we was walking out to do our first night scene, we'd been up so long, and I remember the girls were walking out, and Leanne, who was in there with me, she looked at me, and she must have clocked my face, and she went, are you okay? And I was like, no, are you okay? And she went, no. And then Paige was behind me and she went, girls, are you okay? And we was like, no. And she was like, no, good, I'm not okay either. That was within hours of being in there.
Really?
And that's, even the word you just used there, saying like the first night scene, and it's like, oh my God, it's such intense, it's work.
It's work.
In our head, but it's like, oh cool, dinner time.
I thought I was going on an all-inclusive holiday, okay?
Yeah.
That's what it looks like.
It's not. I don't regret a second of it.
Yeah.
And it's strange how you acclimatise so easily, but it is work. And you're running on probably 4 or 5 hours sleep, if that.
Really?
Some nights we went asleep when the sun was already up.
What? But what do you do? Because you don't drink, right?
No.
You don't really eat.
So you're allowed 2 drinks a night, sometimes only one, But I never drank because I'm not a big drinker as it is. And he was only allowed like red wine, white wine, beer. I don't drink any of them. So it was just easy for me not to.
Right.
But then sometimes I think, God, I should have probably had a drink because it would have kept me up. Because there's scenes like you'll see of me with a wine glass with steam coming out of it because there's tea in it.
Really?
Yeah, literally. And that's me just trying to stay awake.
Sneaky teas.
Literally. There'd be like, as soon as we'd come out and we'd like run out and be like, yeah. That. Then I'd go straight to the kettle and they'd be like, Shauna, not now. And I'm like, please, I just want a tea, please.
So there's scenes where you have to run out for the party.
Multiple times.
Do you?
Do you?
The fourth time, I'm like...
Oh my God, that's
I
so
always
funny.
Think that when you're like... And then it was dark, you know, like you're all dancing.
In the slow-mo. Yeah. You've got to
and
do
there's
like,
no music playing for them slow-mos.
Stop it, you're
there's
lying.
There's no music.
You're lying.
All we oh can hear God. Is our feet hitting the floor like, yeah.
Oh my God.
It's
oh
the no, most no. awkward... Tight. So imagine slow dancing on someone with no music. It's or like they'll play music, but it's like it'll be like. No, don't get me wrong. I'm an Ariana Grande fan, but you don't want to hear it in a club. And they'll put it on, but you can't sing it because obviously they put different music over it.
Oh yes, you
so
can't
you can't.
Like...
Yeah. So we literally had this trick where we would put ice in our mouths because subconsciously you would just go to sing like. A bit of
no way.
Yeah, so to try and stop us from singing, we'd put like ice in our mouth.
This is an insider scoop.
Yes. I know. Oh, I'll never crazy. Work with ITV again after this.
No,
I'm really sorry.
Oh my God. God, that's like so awkward. That's my
so
idea of
awkward.
Hell. Like yeah. personal hell.
Yeah.
How aware? Because like I feel like on Big Brother, like a lot of people used to come out there and be like, you just forget that there's cameras. You've got yeah. like no concept of the fact that you just you lose
yeah.
perspective of yeah. what you're doing and where you are. Is it like that on Love Island, or is it are the cameras quite present and are you quite aware that it's
that, so
you're on TV?
So they're in like little cubby holes, like little like cupboards. The cameramen and every now and then
there are cameramen, not just cameras.
Yeah, there's cameramen in there.
Like men hiding in cupboards.
In cupboards.
Awesome.
In cupboards.
No!
So obviously not in the house, like not in the walls, but outside in like the garden area, there'll be like wooden like slots. And like you'll hear, as you're walking past, you'll hear the slot moving. You're like, oh, I'm on camera. Suck in, breathe out, tits out, teeth out. And
no way.
Yeah. You'll just hear it move. Or like
that is foul.
It's wild. It's wild.
Oh my God. I am stunned by that. Yeah.
I don't think they're always manned.
Okay.
Of a nighttime they'd be manned. Probably okay. not of the day like of a daytime.
Right.
But there's so obviously there's like just normal cameras, like CCTV cameras. And then there's like a crane camera that comes down. Okay. So like for our one, obviously we was in South Africa, if in the day beds. Like you'd be having a chat and then you'd just see it come down and you just got to be like, act natural. Carry on talking.
That is so hard.
Yeah, it is weird. It's weird. And like of when we're doing the recouplings, behind the recouplings is where the cameras are. And you could hear the guys on the radio and like they'd be like, 3, 2, 1, and then you'd know that someone was coming out of Castro Moore ready to like walk out. So you'd be able to like brace yourself. But that was like the only. I don't think they even knew we could hear that.
The recoupling scenes. I have a feeling that they last a really long time.
Hours.
Do they?
Hours.
And do you often have to like redo stuff? And
yeah, you don't normally have to redo like if it's like something very dramatic, then obviously they can't really redo that.
Okay.
But like when you're doing the like, I would like to couple up with this person because you do that in 3 sections. So you say that and then you have a big pause. Then you say the next bit, pause. And
really?
Then, yeah.
I have another question. This isn't what we want to talk about, but anyway, we're here. I've changed my mind about what personal hell is again. You know where you've to come out and you've to dance for the boys?
Hell.
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 Oh my God.
Do you redo that? Or is it one just like close your eyes, think of England, get
thank
it done
God
and then
God it's
you're out.
One. Yeah. And I don't even remember doing that. I've never watched it. I'd done it, I don't even remember hearing the music. So that was a time I cried from the... We found out at lunchtime. So I cried from lunchtime to the minute I walked out, I cried.
Oh, man.
Oh, you poor thing, that's
and
horrible.
Because also, they normally do that towards the end of the series. I thought I'd be well home by then. Like, I thought, oh, I ain't got to worry about that. Oh. It was like within the first week.
I think
bet everyone was shitting
worst.
It as well.
Yeah, and also what people don't understand is you don't get to choose your outfit.
Do you not?
No. You don't get to choose your song. You don't get to choose any of that. I said to them, I will go out naked in nipple tassels as long as you give me trousers, tights or fire high boots. I will do whatever you want. And I was the only girl that had none of that. And I actually had a bodysuit that was cut up to here. And that was I said to them, just anything, I will do anything.
And you said that before.
Yeah.
Beforehand. So they knew that's really mean. That's
better
so
mean. Telly if you'd have been more confident in what you were wearing.
I said to them, I might just walk. I can't do this. And I was like, you can, you look sexy. And I'm like, but I don't feel sexy. So it doesn't matter if I look sexy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then literally it had been raining as well that day. And I had these heels on. And the second I stepped out, I skidded. I skidded, yeah. And then I had this idea. So I had this, like, I was like a space woman and I had this, like, bodysuit on with a zip up. So I thought, okay, let me do the zip up. And then when I get down, I can, like, undo it. I tried to undo it and the zip weren't undoing. Like, it had lost its catch or something. So the whole time I had it up to here, like a nun. Not that she ever does dirty dancing, but that's literally what I felt like. And, like, I go down there and I try to undo it and I can't. I'm like, it's just the most... Can you say no,
I'm not doing it?
I don't think so.
I just can't believe that they would make you wear, like, you can't choose your outfit.
You had
a very specific requirement and it wasn't allowed.
That was like, just that one thing, like, just give me, and every other girl had, like, tights on or trousers.
Yeah. That feels, like, feels really mean that...
So it feels mean. Almost like they did it...
Intentionally?
Is that how you felt?
Yeah. And I remember I was crying and I was going, please, like, you don't understand, please. And I was really struggling because it was so early in, like, the season. I was really struggling with swollen legs because it's the different altitude over there. Obviously, just been on a plane and whatnot. Yeah. So my legs were still really swollen as well. So I was just feeling like rubbish. Yeah. And, like, one of the producers was like, come on, like, just stop being dramatic, come on, just go out. And I was just like, who on earth are you talking to? Like, you're probably my age. Don't call me dramatic.
Yeah, you go out.
That's what I said. I said to her, why don't you go out and do it and then show me how it's done? Oh, no, but I'm not on Love Island. I said, still, it doesn't matter. And I was crying because I felt like rubbish. I was crying because I was embarrassed. Then I was crying because I was like, people are dying in the world and I'm crying over this. Like, this is ridiculous. Like, there was so much going on.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah, but do you know what? It was all over in the blink of an eye. What was annoying was it was based on the boys' heart rates and the girls, but no one cared about what the girls' heart rates was. It was all about what the boys' heart rates was. Mm. And I think it was set up.
Of course it's set up.
Yeah. Just because the boy that I think my heart went for...
Yeah.
But in the competition, it said mine went for Callum. And obviously, it would have been a great storyline that mine went for Callum and Callum's didn't go for me.
Right.
But I don't think mine went for him. I'm sure mine went for someone else. And though I know or I think it weren't true, the nation's then watching me looking at like a twat. Like,
it's
great.
Convenient, right? Of it course. Makes for a very convenient
of
narrative.
Course.
Yeah.
And I just felt like a donut. And there was a very popular meme of me in the dressing room after saying, should we just go and smash a few toasties? Because that's just what I felt like after. Like, I'm over this. I was just sitting in my Buzz Lightyear uniform thinking, mate, what have I done? Get me back to the pension committee.
I want to go take those notes.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Quick question about before, sorry, the recoupling, right? You know when you have to choose someone and there's that big long speech that you have to do? Do you have to do that? Can you literally just say, like, I choose this guy because, like, he's a mate and I'm like, yeah, and it's, yeah, cool. Do they push you to make these, like, stupidly long? Because you have to, like...
Yeah, you have to, you kind of go over it with a producer before that night.
Do you?
Yeah, so, like, during dinner time, you kind of talk through it.
So everybody... says you kind of forget that you're being filmed, but actually it's really produced. Like, I guess it's kind of hard
to
forget that you're being filmed.
Well, it is, but in the same sense, so obviously they kind of ask you to go for chats and certain things, which, and a lot of people say, like, is it produced? And it is, but in the same sense, it's a TV show. So, I get it. I get it. And I used to say to them all the time, I know that you're just trying to do your job and I don't want to make it difficult, but I don't want to look like a twat. Like, and then eventually I just ended up doing it anyway because I was so tired. But there was other times when you don't think you're being filmed because you've not been asked to go for a chat. So like, if you're not asked to go for a chat, I just used to think, oh, I'm just in the background somewhere. So there'd be times, right. Like there was a time when I pulled a Kit Kat out of my bra because I didn't think I was being recorded because I weren't in a chat. Well, I come back and my mum's like, oh, when you've done that thing with a Kit Kat? I was like, what?
Oh my God.
That was like 3 Kit Kats deep. I'm just whacking them out of every part of me. And yeah, me and Paige just thinking we was just in the background. Everyone else is doing their bits and we're just here having a tea and just talking rubbish. But that got
so
used.
You're constantly on, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah. You do forget. You really do.
How many producers are there like at any one time? Because...
So obviously I don't know what's going, so there's a gallery obviously like of like people where they're working constantly, but in the actual right. villa there's 2, so there's like a daytime one and then an evening one.
Do they just hide away from the cameras?
Yeah,
literally
they get caught every now and then. It's funny.
Do they?
Yeah, every now and then there's like, who's this random person in the villa? But
no
they
way.
They just hide in that. I remember our one, and our villa was huge and it was over 3 levels. It was massive.
Yeah.
And I remember our villa producers literally just run it like laps, just really? Trying to find people. Yeah. Honestly, the step count they must have had. Oh my God.
Would you rather
insane.
Be a Love Island producer or do your pension minutes?
Oh.
Producer would you probably be quite fun for you now. Yeah. You'd be like, now it's my turn. Like,
go and call her a bitch. Yeah. Oh, I'd be the worst. The worst.
I read something as well. You said that you were encouraged to, I think it was in a challenge, and you were encouraged to kiss a boy that wasn't Callum. You
yeah.
had to kiss a boy.
Yeah.
And you were encouraged to kiss a boy that wasn't Callum and you really didn't want to do
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
And I was quite surprised to read that. I mean, no, maybe I'm naive.
No, but even in there, I was like, I am not doing that. Now I'm like, oh mate, I should have just done it. I should have done it for the drama. Like I yeah, get it but, now.
Yeah.
But when I was in there, I was just like, no, like I can't. And the thought of just kissing a random boy for a random reason, like that's just weird to me. But
oh, yeah.
I suppose looking back, I look back and I'm like, oh my God, that would have been great telly.
Yeah.
But it was weird. Like I was just like, no, what are you talking about? Like, I'm not doing that.
But you had like very real. You had like very very real emotions, and it was real well, yeah. at the time. So then you didn't want to kiss someone else.
Well, that was
know?
The thing. And like, don't get me wrong. You're in there for a few weeks. You don't fall madly in love in there, but you fancy someone.
Yeah.
And then if you fancy someone, you're not going to go and kiss someone else.
No.
So it was just. It's so weird. It's like, even the thought of the first night, it only dawned on me when I was in there, oh my God, I have to share a bed with a boy. Like, the first night. That's so weird.
That is so weird.
Just so awkward.
I feel a bit now like, and I don't know, I used to love Love Island a lot, but I've the relationship struggled in recent years. And I was reading the about who was going in this year, and it's like, there's a 19-year-old...
So crazy.
And then there's like a 29-year-old dude like in there as well, like yeah. you know, that's the age span. It's like, yeah. it's like 30, like 18 to 30, and it's like, actually kind of minging that
yeah.
they could just end up in bed together. They're even sleeping in the same room. Like, I know everyone's adults, but it's still just a bit like, ooh,
no, because yeah. you know, like at 18, although you're an adult, I was a donut when I was like, oh, I mean yeah. I still am, but you're young.
It's so young.
You're like, they were born in 2003.
Don't say things
that's
like that.
That's not, I don't
know. No,
I
my
can't.
Brother was born in 2001 and I forget that he can read and write. Like, I genuinely forget that.
Oh my God, 2003.
Do you know that when you yeah, used to spell crazy. Things out in front of children and they didn't get what you were saying because you were spelling it? I forget that I can't do that with him now.
Because
he's 21 and he can drive and stuff. But yeah, there is some, and I was 25 when I was in mine. I was the oldest one in there.
Were you?
Yeah, and I felt every year. I felt it.
It really?
It's,
yeah.
Like, it's, I mean, you laugh now at, like, the X Factor, like, the over 25 category.
That was the filler category.
Pensioners. I was like, what are you grannies doing? Yeah. Here, geriatrics, can you even get on the stage?
Literally.
And it was, like, so much pity for the over 20. Yeah. Like, God love them.
Yeah.
They'll never make it. They're yeah. way past it.
That was, like, the diversity category, weren't it?
Yeah.
No, now that's us.
We treat now, like, this is what I find like staggering, is we treat Love Islanders like they are grown-ups, and you chose to go on the show, and whatever happens afterwards, you asked for it, right? That's the kind of like psyche of the people that troll and that comment and that make the memes and whatever, and it's like, you're fair game because you went for it, but it's like, if I had to be responsible for every decision that I made at 18, or, you know, even insane. 25 or whatever, we treat you guys like you're Yodas.
Literally. And the thing is, and so before you go in, you have to speak to a therapist and whatnot. And I can't fault them for that. That was really, really, like, I loved my therapist. She was a babe. But she said to me, how do you think you're going to cope with trolls? And I said, well, I don't know. I can't answer that. I said, to be honest, I am my own worst kind of critic. So I can't imagine them saying anything that I probably haven't already thought anyway. But I still can't tell you how I'm going to cope. And not only that, you could go in. I was very kind of level-headed, but I can imagine an 18, 19-year-old going in thinking they're going to be the next Molly May, and they could be out within 24 hours. And then that whole aspect of it, you might get overwhelming fame or you might get absolutely nothing.
That is such a mindfuck.
So,
I can't remember if it was... I think it was your year, because I think that's the last... But it was the Scottish girl who went out.
No, that was the season just gone.
Right, right.
24 hours.
24 hours. So you've had all this build-up
and
mental
preparation. And she told
me
that she was being cast out for a year and a half.
Really?
So for a year and a half. And it is exciting. And it is, oh my God, I'm going on Love Island. For 24 hours.
And
she couldn't have even unpacked that. She probably didn't get her case by that point.
Unbelievable. Yeah,
that was harsh. That was really harsh.
Yeah, it is.
And I also, I don't get this, oh, like when people do comment on like the way you look or your body or this, that and the other. Well, you're in the public eye, so why shouldn't I? No, what on earth makes you think you can comment on how I look?
Right.
No, that you don't have a right. I have a right to say it. No, you don't.
Freely
I'm telling you right now, you have no right to tell me what you think about me.
No.
So don't.
No. But it's, I mean, that's like, the British culture is so extraordinary, and like I think we are unique. Well, the Americans do it as well, but it's pretty extraordinary the way that like the tabloids have worked in this country that have given us like ownership of people like you when you do this show.
Yeah.
And it is, you now just end up with this weird like right wing rhetoric of like, well, it's freedom of speech, so I can call her fat if I want. And it's like,
yeah,
but why do you want to?
That's
are you okay?
Yeah. And yeah. I also think, if you want to say that to me, then I want you to go up to that mum in Tesco's that you've just walked past and say, I think you're really fat and I think your makeup's really horrible. You would never do it.
No.
You would never do it.
Of course not.
So what on earth makes me different to that random woman you just walked past?
Have you had a lot of trolling?
I will be honest. I've had a lot more love than trolling. I have words like hidden. So I can't see certain comments, even
what
if they're left.
What does that mean?
You can hide words like fat, pig, all of these things, and right. I hid a few, and then I said to my like people that was looking after my Instagram when I was in there, if you see any that keep popping up that you don't think I want to see, just hide them.
Okay.
So that means the people can still comment that on my pictures, but I just can't see it.
Okay.
So when I first come out, I thought everyone loved me. Oh my God, I'm the Messiah. I haven't had a hateful comment in my life. And then I had this fan account for me do a collage of all the horrible comments that I had and was like, this is so nasty, please stop doing that. And I was like, babe, where on earth have you got these comments?
Oh,
I didn't know these
so
existed.
They still exist and people can still reply to them, but you
just
don't know.
Yeah, I just can't see them.
Really?
That's actually wonderful.
Blown my mind.
So that is good. That is good. But there's still other comments that like emojis and stuff people can still leave and
I
whatnot.
Actually read... Feel like a stalker. I read this and I read that.
And I watched it.
But I read that beforehand you hid the word legs.
Yeah.
Before you went in.
Yeah.
So you anticipated.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Comments about your legs.
Yep, said that in therapy. Yep.
Really?
Because it was to me, it was the worst part of my body. So obviously now I know I had a medical condition, so of course it was going to be obvious.
Right.
But back then I didn't know that was a condition. I thought that was just my thing.
Right. So you were diagnosed with lipedema.
Yeah.
But it was only after the show, right, that you were diagnosed.
So
and it
how
was only
wild.
Because of the show.
Yeah.
What is lipedema?
So it's basically a buildup of fat cells that they're different to normal fat cells. They can't be burnt. They can't be burnt through fat, rather. They multiply and they just keep growing. Mm. And it's not through diet or exercise. It's hereditary. It's typically for your dad's side of the family, like your paternal family, which was another thing that I struggled with, because all of the females on my mum's side of the family all had beautiful legs. And no matter what size, I mean, all different shapes and sizes, their legs were always stunning. And I just could not relate. And I was just like, what on earth? So all of the tick boxes was just, I was like, this is insane how no one, do you know, 1 in 10 yeah. women in the UK have it?
That's really? Crazy.
Yeah. But it's just so undiagnosed.
And that's horrible that you go through, and you women go through so much, like, to fix the problem areas in
yeah.
quotation marks.
Yeah.
And I mean, obviously the problem isn't on the body, the problem's with the society, but still, even then, that you're yeah. working so hard to change something that's just part of who you are.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. But I noticed the difference in my legs from secondary school. I went to an all-girls school, we're all wearing skirts. I looked at legs and I was just like, my legs don't look like that. Like, what on earth is going on? And I remember I got to like 9 stone, which is way too like underweight for my body. And my legs just didn't look any different. And I don't understand right. now how no doctor or anyone picked up on it. Because no one knew about it.
Yeah.
But I get so many messages. I got a message, I think, Friday from a girl. And I followed her because she had the same kind of body shape as me. And I'm really trying to do that now on Instagram. Follow girls that... The first thing I looked at when I saw her was, oh my God, she's stunning. And then I clicked on her and I was like, oh wait, she has like the same kind of body size as me. And she looks yeah. incredible. The first thought wasn't, oh my God, look at her body. It was just that she looked banging.
Yeah.
So I'm really trying to follow more girls that I won't look at and be like, oh my God, I hate myself.
Yeah.
And it makes such a difference.
It's a cool moment, that, isn't it? When you see someone.
Yeah.
And your first thought is, she looks great. And then yep. your second thought is, well, hang on. Like, she actually yep. looks really similar to me. Like, yep. that's such a weird... Like, light bulb moment.
The way she wears it, like, she just looks, like, I fancy her. She just looks banging. And then yeah. she messaged me. I'll show you the messages after. She messaged me going, I can't believe you've just followed me. I'm 99.9% sure I've got lipedema. And I looked at her pictures and I thought that as well. I would never message someone and go, I think you've got lipedema.
Right.
But if they say it to me, right. I'll have a look and be like...
But that's interesting that people said to you, like, the reason yeah. you found out you've got lipedema yeah. is because all these people messaged you on Instagram to
yeah.
say you had it.
And my mum thought they was trolling me.
Oh,
Tracy literally cock-blocked me when it came to my medical diagnosis. And someone said it and I was Googled it and I was like, oh, it was like, I can't even tell you the weight that lifted off my shoulders when I... saw, oh, this is it. And I ran downstairs. I was like, mom, look at this. And she was like, oh, loads of people wrote that to you.
Bless
but
her.
We just blocked her and we thought they was trolling you. And I was like, what do you mean?
Oh, so was your mum doing your Instagram account?
My two best friends were doing it, but yeah. I said my mum was like chief exec. So she said it was the most like horrendous time of her life.
Why yeah. was it so horrible for her?
Well, when I came out, I was just like, mum, what have I missed on telly? She was like, what have you missed? I've been watching Love Island, After Sun, Love Island Best Bits. That's all I've watched. But she had like... journalists sitting outside the house.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
Yeah, and my mum is like a data protection lawyer, so she was like, this was just the complete opposite to what she was used to.
Did you have like an Instagram, like a public Instagram account beforehand?
Yeah, but I had like 1,100 followers.
And what did you come out to?
1.5 million.
Shit.
Insane.
That must have been just like so surreal and like, what the hell do I do with this?
I just wanted to set my phone on fire. Oh, so actually, what's funny is we had, there was a big thing in the villa where the boys, not even the girls, the boys were obsessed with how many followers they were getting. And every new bombshell that would come in, the boys would be like, what follower, how many have I got? How many have I got?
Really?
And they would always get in trouble. We'd literally, the girls would hear the boys on the tannoy, we used to call it VOG, Voice of God. And a tanner would be like, boys, stop talking about that. And we'd be like, oh my God, they're obsessed. Like, again.
That's such an ego.
Oh my
God.
Literally,
so
like, literally measuring competition. And then left, I was in like this holding villa with a chaperone and a security guard. And apparently, they both had a bet on how long it would take for me to ask how many followers I had, and I didn't ask. All I wanted to do was talk to my mum. Oh, that was all I wanted. I didn't even think about that. And then on the plane home, the chaperone said to me, "You haven't asked, we've had a bit, we've both lost, do you want to know how many you've got?" And I was like, "Oh, okay, go on then." He was like, "You've just hit 1 million." And I was like, shut up.
That is just so weird.
It's just so weird.
Especially because you haven't been privy to like any transition period. You just suddenly, you've gone from nothing to 1 million people.
That's what I mean. And also what people don't understand is like the most famous you will be is when you're in there. Because that's when you're on the telly. Yeah.
That's so...
Yeah, so all of the press like about you and everything about you and your interactions on Instagram, it'll be the most higher when you have nothing to do with it.
That's so interesting.
It's insane. Yeah. Insane.
I want to ask about that, the high... I'm kind of like fascinated about it from a psychological standpoint of like when you come out and there's this massive high, like there's all eyes on you, everyone's so interested in you, you've got all these new followers on Instagram, you've got magazine like publications just want to speak to you, like you've got all these videos to do, blah blah blah, everyone recognizes you all of a sudden, and then obviously that at some point has to wane, and then you know gradually, and then like the year after, then you've got like new Love Island contestants. Yeah. That must really be again a mindfuck.
It was, and you almost like revert back to like a baby almost, where you just want your mum, you just want like normality. I craved normality. I was lucky, but we had COVID. I had COVID lockdown 3 weeks after I left the villa, and honestly, I don't actually know how I would have coped without that. And even though it might have scuppered work, and I was very lucky I had my In The Style deal, so that I was so lucky with that. Like, honestly, that saved my life, basically. But I had someone try to hack my phone during that few weeks.
Really?
Yeah. And
trying to get into Instagram?
No, my actual iCloud.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
That's really scary.
They pretended they was my management on the phone, and I'd only been with my management a few days. It must have been my mum's date protection head in me, where I was like, this doesn't sound right. The way they was talking just didn't sound right. And I rang management. I was like, did you just call me? And they was like, no. And the plan is they try and keep you on the phone as long as possible.
No.
Because when you're on the phone, your phone's unlocked. And they can then get in there, yeah.
That is why you don't answer phone calls.
Literally.
Never answer phone.
Literally. But they had known that I'd been to TikTok's offices that day. They knew that I was given a flyer to go to an event. They told me that I'd left my wallet in the office. This was everything they were telling me. It was insane.
It's actually really lucky, but you know, we talk about like a lot of people come out of Love Island, like, obviously very young, but also with no support system at all. And it's really lucky for you, even having your mum as a lawyer is like so valuable.
Even contracts and stuff like that, my mum could look over.
Yeah, because you could just be, you know, obviously it is, I'm assuming, like a bit of a race to sign contracts and to get deals.
Completely. And so I was lucky. My mum and my best friend met with management while I was in there. To discuss, like, and then when I come out, they kind of shortlisted it for me. And I kind of know my mum's going to have my best interest at heart. Mm. Like, she's going to shortlist the best ones. So then I kind of went to who she told me to, had meetings and whatever. And I'm so glad that she done that, because there's not a lot of people that would have had that.
Yeah.
And I know there's a lot of islanders from my season that have changed management since like coming out. Yeah. So I'm very lucky in that aspect, but it's so easy to be taken advantage of. And there's so much money to be made.
So much money.
And I think people like need to follow, viewers need to be realistic about like, okay, so they're like, oh, well, you know, you're going in there for love or money or fame or whatever, right? And people really question the incentive. And actually, people need to be realistic about the fact that you're going in there, and whatever reason you've gone in, we all have to accept your life's going to change. You can't go back to the pension meeting. Like, it's not feasible. So then within your new career, you have to make money and you have to make it work.
Of course, of course.
And I think people, I mean, like, obviously people hate women making money anyway.
Hate it.
Women making money on Instagram.
Yeah.
Like, how dare you show it? It's disgusting.
Yeah.
But so, and I mean, there's probably a conversation to be had about the difference in how the male influences.
Well, actually, it's a double-edged sword, because I feel like women, girl influencers can make so much more money than men.
Yeah.
It's almost like the porn industry, do you know, like where women, that's like the only industry where women can make more money than men.
Right.
Girls, you could be in Love Island for like a week as a girl and you could still come out and make relatively good money. With boys, it's a lot harder.
Oh, that's interesting.
It is a lot harder.
Because I guess they've got like Boohoo Man, but then I can't actually think of any.
You have to have like a niche.
Thing, misguided.
Exactly.
In the style.
Exactly, yeah. And, and like Moni May, for example, she knew what she was doing before she went in, so she had that career paved out. Whereas for guys, not a lot of guys are that kind of outward in, especially in my season. I feel like a lot of the guys in my season were so normal. A lot of the girls were as well, but it's just so much easier for girls. There's makeup, there's all of these things.
And even doing like fashion shit for boys, it's awkward. Like, I mean, I love watching like my Alex trying to do any Instagram content, but he's like,
but it's just awkward. And even like some of my guy friends, when they see like my first InStyle shoot, I was just so awkward and wooden. And then you get used to it, and then like there could be 12 people behind a camera and you're just doing whatever you're doing, and they literally look at me, they're like, how do you do that? And I'm like, I don't know. I honestly, you go into this place, I don't know. But it is, it's a lot easier for the girls to make money, but it's also, they get so much more shit.
So much more.
It's just ridiculous. Like, how many times have you seen pictures of girls coming out of a club drunk compared to like the guys and like the differing headlines?
Literally.
Like, it's
sick. Spills out of her dress.
Only because you're on the floor with your camera up. No wonder she fucking spilled out of her dress.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Get me started on them.
I sent us on a weird path, sorry.
But going back, sorry, to the lipedema, so you were diagnosed when you came out, and eventually you decided you decided to have liposuction, didn't you, to treat it?
It's to manage it,
To manage it, okay. Why did you make that decision?
It's the only treatment out there for it. There is nothing else.
Okay.
You can use like compressions and stuff like that, which can kind of stem it, but it doesn't stop it progressing. So it's the only treatment currently that removes it's called like diseased fat, which removes that. And there is no saying whether it will come back because there's just no research into it.
Right.
There's more and more as we go on, but currently, I mean, I could get it back. The thing is with lipedema, I've always had big legs. So even though I've had liposuction, I've had the surgery, in my head, they're no different. And I look in pictures and they look different. But sometimes I get swelling and I'm like, oh my God, they've gone back to normal. And liposuction so I had it on my calves and my thighs. On my calves, I have a pretty high tolerance to pain, especially when it comes to anything cosmetic. Sign me up. I'll do it, whatever you need to do. On your calves, it is the most excruciating thing I've ever been through in my life. Like, so even if it was to come back, I don't know if I could have that again. Because it was that bad. Like, I feel sick talking about it.
Do you think it was it worth it? Has it been helpful?
It was definitely worth it. Yeah. Definitely worth it. And it just for the kind of the mental side of it, I feel like at least I've had some treatment.
Okay.
And I wear my compressions still. I wear them to bed. I wear them on flights and stuff like that. Mm. But it was just excruciating. Yeah. I can't even. Oof. It feels like, so you have to put these really tight tights on to help bring all of the fluid up to like your lymphatic system.
Right.
And when you're putting them on, it feels like your skin is ripping from your muscle. And I told my surgeon that, and I was like, this is like the sensation. And he was like, no, that's what's happening. He was like, all of the nerves are trying to mesh back together. And when you disrupt them, they are breaking. And I was like, and the other term, oh my God. So your incisions are left open and they're the tiniest. They're like the same as like when you cut yourself shaving.
Okay,
they're tiny. But you leak for like maybe the 3 days after surgery, you leak. And he told me, and this word still gives me shivers, he told me I needed to milk my leg.
Oh my God.
And when I mean even looking at my leg was painful, it was so excruciating. The thought of milking my leg
Oh my God.
It still sends me to a place that I'd never wish to go back to.
Oh my God, you poor thing. That's really horrible.
Like people like on the Daily Mail going like, oh, another celebrity choosing the easy way out. Meanwhile, I'm wearing an adult nappy because I can't make it to the toilet. Aww. And I'm milking my leg and I'm like, yeah, this is not the fucking easy way out. Let me assure you, David. Yeah. Or sometimes like I'll read like just like, for shits and gigs, I'll read the Daily Mail. And like, if I accidentally scroll too hard, I'm like, no. Nearly went there.
You had the treatment. You had liposuction for lipedema, but that's not available on the NHS. So you had to go privately.
Yeah.
And you paid for it yourself, yeah, right? It wasn't gifted or anything.
No.
Why did you choose to share it like publicly?
Because I got such huge kind of like, I got a huge following from girls who said they saw someone on Love Island look like them. And so many people was like, oh my God, you look like a normal girl. So I didn't want to then come out with these legs and be like, I'm still a normal girl. Like, this is just me. Because that's not how it happened. Mm. And I had to pay money and I had to have cosmetic surgery to achieve that. And I weren't having it to be skinny. I was having it, like my surgeon said, you need to just try and attain normal legs. And I just wanted normal legs. I weren't looking for Kendall Jenner legs. Mm. But I didn't want girls that had lipedema or just had big legs that then saw me and thought, oh, she doesn't look like me anymore, because technically I am still you. I just had to pay to have that difference. And I think that's, like with the Kardashians, like I am a big Kardashian fan. Like, I am obsessed with them. But if they just told us all what they had,
I know,
the pressure for us all to try and look like that, or if we buy Kylie's skincare, we're going to look like Kylie, because we ain't. Mm. Like, I've got a lot of Skims. I don't look like Kim.
Yeah.
If we just knew what you had and just, you weren't born like that, and that's okay. You're billionaires. Own it. Just own it. And I think there is such power in just owning it.
Yeah, and I liked that you did that. I liked that you shared it. And I suspected that was why you did it. Because I knew it wasn't gifted and you paid for it yourself.
But I really want influencer girls, and I mean this like with every ounce of me, stop getting surgery gifted, because it is life and death. Like, it literally is.
Yeah.
And it is not worth it.
And it also, when you get a gifted surgery, I think it means that you have to kind of show the good bits. You can't show the bad bits, because
you have no room to complain.
Exactly. Which means you're kind of, you're selling it to other people, even if it was fucking awful.
Yeah, and I've spoke to so many girls that have said it was horrific, but it doesn't look like that on their Instagram. Yeah. And I think
it should be illegal.
It should be. Like my surgeon said, you wouldn't go to a Ford Focus dealer for a Range Rover.
Yeah.
You just wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't cut corners when it comes to your car. You wouldn't get cheaper insurance because, you know, it's cheap.
Yeah.
This is your body.
Yeah.
Like, you could lose limbs.
Yeah. Staggering, isn't
it? So just don't cut corners.
Yeah.
Please pay for your surgery.
I think it's really valuable that you're sharing that honesty with that, and particularly as well with Love Island currently on, to hear how what you went through before you went, because I think, like, obviously a lot of viewers are going to watch it and just say, oh, these girls are so unobtainable, they're so beautiful, they just pop in and
they're born like that,
and actually to hear, like, no, I didn't have pudding at Christmas, and I, you know, went to the gym when I was knackered, and now I've had this surgery and whatever. And I think it's really, really valuable.
Yeah, and I'm a viewer. I watch it and I'm going, oh, she's so annoying, or this, that, and the other. And then I catch myself. But I've got that insight. Majority of the nation don't. So I think just be a little bit easier. And I think, like, women and I know we shouldn't have to think someone's our daughter to be nice to them. It shouldn't be like that. But treat the girls that are on there like that will be your daughter or your little sister. Yeah. And we all get caught out. I mean, I've got caught out. I've said things before and I'm like, oh, why did I say that? Yeah. And you meet them in real life and you're like, oh my God, I'm a dick. Why did I think that?
Yeah.
It's human, but just don't blast it all. And if you're gonna be horrible about someone, do it about their character, not about their body. Yeah. Because that can be changed.
Yeah. Love that.
Wisdom to live by this season.
Judge me on my character, please.
Shona, thank you so much for talking
to
us.
Thank you so much.
We could have done that for days, but we have to leave the studio.
Thank you. It was so nice to talk
thank
to you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for being with us, and big thanks to Acast. We are part of their creator network.
See you on Thursday, guys. Thanks so much for listening. Take care. Bye.